Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode number 455 of the Male Right Show. Today, we are ecstatic, excited, and blessed to have a guest with us. Steve, we've been very, very particular over the last year about the people that we allow on the show. So today's guest is Steve Schuhl. He is, and this is my bad. I don't know if you're the founder of or if you merely work for performance coaching. Maybe you could start there.
I am the founder.
Okay. So he's the founder of performance coaching, and the subject that we decided that we all wanted to talk about today was how realtors can still get a full 6% in a difficult market. Now, before we go any further, Steve, why don't you go introduce yourself to our audience and also explain why you feel you can give advice that would like get that result.
Awesome. Again, thank you for having me. Again, my name is Steve Schuhl. I grew up in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I attended the College of William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia on a football scholarship. From there, I had the good fortune of playing 4 years in the NFL for the Miami Dolphins, played under Don Shula, who is the winningest coach in NFL history. And knee injury ended my career. From there, I went back, got an MBA at the University of Miami. From there, I went to Wall Street, spent 5 years on Wall Street, worked for Salomon Brothers as a fixed income institutional salesperson. Then in 1991, I changed everything up in my life and I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, moved out to Southern California, started selling residential real estate in 1991. With a partner in my first year, we closed 53 transactions. And then in my second year, was on track to close 100 transactions. And I went to a gentleman, Mike Ferry, who was putting on real estate seminars at the time that I'd been attending, came to Mike with the idea of starting a real estate coaching program. Mm-hmm. And Mike liked the idea. And in 1993, we launched the first real estate coaching program in the country, in the world, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that ever since. I went out on my own in 1996, formed Performance Coaching. In 2007, opened up with two partners, my own brokerage called Tellus Properties. Was there for 5 years. That brokerage ultimately sold to Douglas Elliman. And here we are in 2024. I've been coaching for 32 years. I've logged over 60,000 hours of one-on-one coaching. I can safely say that I've coached more real estate agents than anyone on planet Earth, and I'm here today.
Copy you. Well, we're overjoyed to have you, Steve. Your history makes you a legend for sure. Just the fact that you were there with Mike before his son Tom split off and became the guy that he is absolutely astounding. And for those that didn't catch that, I just referenced Tom Ferry, which is Mike Ferry's son, for all of you following along. All right, John, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Hard act to follow. I'm going to go last.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ruff. I'm the joint founder of male-right.com. We are a digital lead platform for real estate agents that want to do their own campaigns, or we can do their campaigns. It's a CRM, a email text platform. And we also produce a fantastic looking website for our agents. Back over to you, Rob.
It's funny, Steve, because usually I get to say on every single podcast that I am the most experienced SEO guy in the US, because I still to this very day talk to 3 or 4 real estate professionals every single day. And I've been doing it for 16 years. That's only half as much time as you've been doing it. So I am no longer the most experienced anything I may know more about SEO, but I certainly haven't talked to more real estate agents, and I have not logged 60,000 hours. So you win the prize, my friend. Actually, is for this particular session. So you obviously feel like you've got some good advice, and it sure does sound like you would have some great advice. So why don't we just dig into it? John, why don't you lead us off, since you're the one who did the show notes?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rob. So, Steve, you know, after you agreed to come on the show and that, I watched some of your previous interviews, some of your recent ones, and there was a interview that you did in a panel show about a year ago, and one of the topics was how you prove your value. I think it was around when you were discussing when you do a presentation, and I think you used the concept, used a certain concept about you being the obvious choice when you're doing a presentation.
Or being the favorite.
Yeah, the favorite. That was the concept that you used. And then it got around, that concept led into really proving that you can get your full 6%. And you were quite passionate in some of your statements in that panel show around getting that 6% and the process of proving your value around that. So I just wondered if you've had any more thoughts about that particular concept, because everything that's occurred afterwards, there's a lot of agents that are very concerned about them not being able to get any, you know, anything like that because of all the changes in the industry. I don't know if you got any new thoughts about what you stated during that round table.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, along with Chris Voss, who's a former FBI hostage negotiator, and Chris wrote the book Never Split the Difference, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners may have read. And I hooked up with Chris a little over 8 years ago when I read that book, because everything in that book, everything about hostage negotiations applies to the world of real estate. And we adapted all of his material into the real estate world. And one of the concepts that we talk about is the favorite or the fool. And the entire real estate industry, and this is where what we do is very different from the rest of the real estate training world, the entire real estate industry is built on a false premise. And that false premise is that you win or lose business, A, based on your value proposition, and B, on your ability to articulate your value to a potential seller or a potential buyer. That's not how it actually happens. When that seller calls you up, the call that every real estate agent wants to get, hi, we're thinking about selling our home and we'd like you to come out and talk to us. When you get that phone call, that seller already knows who they're going to list their home with, or they're leaning strongly in a direction. And so they have a favorite. Now, it's not 100% of the time. When you're the favorite, you have an 80% chance or better of getting that listing. When you're the fool in the game, you have a 20% chance or less of getting that listing. So what we're coaching agents to do is find out, am I the favorite or am I the fool? And in a 15-minute Zoom call or phone call, you can get to that outcome. You can find out whether you indeed are the favorite, you're the person they want to work with, or you're the fool in the game. It's not about telling them all the things you're going to do for them. It has nothing to do with anything. And the kicker here, getting to your question, when you're the favorite, they're going to pay you what your fee is. They're going to pay you what your fee, because they want to work with you. And it's based on trust, not value. And this is where, again, agents, you know, go down the wrong path when all they're trying to do is preach their value and convince people with what they're going to do. It's not about value. It's about trust. And people pay a lot more for trust than value. And so when I know I'm the favorite, when I find out I'm the favorite, then I know, again, it's not 100%, it's not a guarantee, that they're going to pay my full fee. They may push back once, they may push back twice. However, there's a difference. They're only fishing. They're only making sure that they're not leaving any money on the table. When you're the fool in the game and they bring up the commission objection, they're going to try and make you wrong. So you have to be able to hear, are they just fishing for why you cost more, or are they trying to make you wrong for why you charge more? There's a big difference. And now, we wrote this book before the NAR settlement. Now, the way I view this, and this is not Pollyanna in any way, shape, or form, everything that's happened since the NAR settlement is really an opportunity for agents to get a pay raise, whereas most agents think they're going to get a pay cut in this new environment. Look at it very differently. Pre-NAR, the way it's always been, the whole system bought into this 5 to 6% range on commissions. And 90% of the agents probably were charging somewhere between 5 and 6. Obviously, it's been going down and down and down. And everyone just accepted that's the way it is. You know, the most you're going to get is 6, and the less you know, the average would be 5, and obviously some people would work for less than 5. What the NAR settlement did, it basically decoupled the commissions. In essence, the seller is going to pay their agent, the listing agent, and the buyer is going to pay their agent, the buyer's agent. And now you're free to charge whatever you want. You're not confined by this 5 to 6%. Now, most agents act like they're still part of that system. However, they're not. They're doing that to themselves. And for the longest period of time, the agents I work with, when they were charging 6%, they were keeping 3.5 on the listing side, offering 2.5 on the buy side. Now, as a listing agent, my fee is going to be 3.5% on the listing side or more. There's nothing to stop an agent from charging more. And oh, by the way, the reason I say this is an opportunity for a pay raise, most sellers are used to hearing 5 or 6%. When you say to them, my fee is 3.5 or my fee is 4%, that's not going to shock them. That's not going to shock them. So A, on the listing side, 3.5 minimum, and on the buy side, 3% minimum. So now if I'm a top agent, I'm looking at, if I understand what I'm doing, I can be earning, you know, 6, 6.5%. And the agents we work with, they get this consistently. It's a standard. It's what they charge everyone. And so that's why I look at this as an opportunity to get a pay raise.
There was a lot of, there's many questions, but I'm gonna ask Robert to come in. So what's your response to that, Rob?
My response is everybody has to wait for my response for exactly 30 seconds while we go to break. And when we come back, I'm going to dig into some of the many points that Steve touched on his in his commentary. We'll be right back.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today go to mail-right.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is episode number 455. If you missed the first half of the show, let me tell you, Steve is already demonstrating why he coaches the best of the best inside the real estate industry. He was explaining how, basically, the way that I interpreted it, was numbers is a mindset, and every time you break free or the standard gets shaken, top agents will figure out ways to make more, not less. And Jonathan, just so that you know, I agree with that. It's been my experience. You have a large amount, let's see if you agree with these numbers. Steve, I think you have 20 or 30% of the bottom performers that will probably end up surrendering their licenses. And I think you have probably 20 to 30% of the top realtors that will make more through this opportunity. They'll figure out ways to, you use the language uncoupling from the system that NAR put in place. I just think that they'll look at all the shakeup as an opportunity to figure out ways to make more money doing what they probably already did well.
Yeah, change is always the seed of growth.
And this is a massive change. This is a massive change for everyone. And a lot of people are just looking at, you know, they've already resigned themselves to making less. You know, however, that's self-imposed. They are doing it to themselves. No one's doing it to them. And as a real estate professional, no one's ever going to understand your job. Everyone thinks you're overpaid. Everyone thinks they could do your job better than you. They just don't have the time, or they're not inclined to do so. And everyone is always reaching into your pocket. And not only do they reach into your pocket, they think they're entitled to reach into your pocket. And so it may be my biggest passion as a real estate coach, that is getting you paid what you're worth. And you can absolutely get paid what you're worth, assuming you do the work. You got to back it up. You've got to be competent. You've got to be trustworthy. You've got to be a straight shooter. But if you put in the work, you can absolutely get paid a full fee in this environment.
So, John, I know you served it up and probably would think I was going to give Steve like a Robert special in terms of a question. But, you know, to be honest with you, he's echoing stuff that I would say anyway. I'm going to revert to a Warren Buffett quote, you know, be greedy when other people are running or retreating, and be conservative and cautious when other people are being greedy. And this is one of those moments for real estate. I've been saying it a long time in certain ways on the show, desperately, anxiously awaiting the real estate slowdown that has been headed our direction for years now, because the real estate market needs an adjustment. Two, the real estate sales force needs to be trimmed, not because I have anything against realtors, but because there are people that are not treating it with the level of sincerity and dedication that they should be, that have real estate licenses, and they will get shaken out of the business. And three, the opportunity will be greater for true professionals who take everything like with a high degree of pride, like trust. That's what I heard Steve say. Did I get you wrong? Trust is a big thing, right?
Again, my coaching has evolved over 32 years. When I started out, again, I was new to real estate. I had moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything. I was the classic person starting literally at ground zero. What I benefited from in the beginning was one, getting coaching in terms of the seminars I was going to. And as a former athlete, I understood what it meant to be coachable. So when I got into this business, what I was told, simple things. You have four choices. You have four ways of making contact: cold call, door knock, expired listings, for sale by owners. That was it. You had to do one of those four things. Those were the four choices I was given. I wasn't going to cold call, and for sale by owners didn't seem, I just didn't vibe with it at all. By default, it was knock on doors and expired listings. And I knocked on 200 doors a day, and I called every expired listing every day in 14 different cities. So I was literally spending a minimum of 4 to 5 hours every day prospecting and following up. Back in 1991, CRMs did not exist. Top producer wasn't around. There was nothing. I had to hire a computer programmer, paying $10,000 to create a CRM-like program. And that's what we did. And every lead went in there, and we created a system and followed up on every single lead. And again, from playing football, I knew what it meant to be coachable. You do what you're supposed to do. And it's not about liking it. You know, you talked about realtors leaving the business. There's another category where they quit and don't leave. And that takes up another big segment of the market. You know, they don't leave physically, but they've given up. And so another book that I wrote is called Real Estate is Not Rocket Science.
Mm-hmm.
I call it that because guess what? It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. The way I got into real estate, I heard an interview that Mike Ferry was doing with two agents in Long Beach, California, Kim and Daryl Rouse. And they were in their second year of business and they were doing 100 deals. So I was listening. What are they doing? And what I got out of that interview is real estate is a progression. Contacts equal leads, leads equal appointments equal listings, listings equal sales. That made perfect sense to me. And so that's why I went out. And the thing I was told, again, back then, I was fortunate because Mike Ferry had this thing. If you didn't do 50 deals a year, you were worthless. So in my head, I had to do 50 deals a year.
Right.
In order to do 50 deals a year, you had to talk to 50 people a day. It was all very straightforward.
Right.
So that's why 200 doors a day. That's why I was calling expired listings. The goal was to make 50 contacts a day. And again, this is completely by coincidence. I ended up closing 53 deals in that first year in a market that was so horrible. If you could get something sold in 90 days, that was a miracle. Here I am, a rookie. Imagine this, first year in real estate, 40 listings, no escrows. That's how different the market is, especially from today. Anyway, the story here, in the beginning, it was all about prospecting. It was all about lead generation, lead conversion. Where my coaching has evolved to today, it's all about building a repeat and referral business. So in the beginning, most people have to lead generate. You have to do it. You have to figure out how you're going to make contact. And again, there aren't that many ways. You can cold call, you can door knock, expireds, for sale by owners, open house, network, marketing. There are only so many different ways to generate leads. You've got to figure out what you're going to do. And that's up to you. There's no one size fits all. However, now where the coaching has evolved to is, you know, making sure that everything goes into your CRM, and CRM is very simple. There's three parts to CRM: get the right people in, organized, grouped, and tagged in the right way. There's four main groups: active clients, leads, past clients, sphere of influence. And there's definitions for each group. You get the right people in, get them set up on the right cadence, and then you got to make your calls every day. Again, this is not rocket science. And in order to do that, you have to time block out your CRM time every day, minimum 1 hour. And so that's what we coach people on, building a repeat and referral business, staying in touch every 90 days, reaching out by phone or in person. You can follow up with text. You can follow up with email. It's still a people business. You still have to talk to people. And going back to what you brought up, what you're working to do every day is to position yourself as a trusted advisor. And what that means is you put your client's interest first. When I teamed up with Chris Voss, the methodology that they had come up with in the hostage negotiation world was called tactical empathy. And tactical empathy is the skill of influencing others by articulating what they're thinking and feeling. What that means is making people feel understood. And this is the missing piece in all of sales. You get a lot of training about how to understand someone, how to ask questions, how to find out what's going on. However, there's a missing piece. Once you understand what's going on, then you have to make them feel understood. And the way you make them feel understood is by labeling back to them what they're thinking and feeling. It sounds like, it seems like, it feels like, you're probably thinking, you're probably feeling. So there's a way of labeling back so they get that you get what they're thinking and feeling.
And so I call that mirroring. But I understand what you're saying.
And mirroring is one of the tools that we use in tactical empathy. Now, again, we're not trying to manipulate people to our advantage. That's not what this is all about. Tactical empathy is about making people feel understood. What we're trying to do is uncover the truth. Am I the favorite or am I the fool in the game? And the way we do that, we have a little framework that we go by. One, is there a deal here? That's the first thing we're trying to figure out. Is there a deal here? Secondly, is there a deal here with me? And third, do I want this deal? And within this framework, there's a progression of questions, labels, different tools in the tactical empathy toolbox that we're going to ask to uncover what's true. Again, we're not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm not trying to get someone to do business with me. I'm finding out who wants to do business with me. And again, you can do this by phone or on a Zoom call in roughly 15 minutes or less. Nothing magical about the 15-minute mark. However, the agents we coach, they do not go on listing appointments. Right now, when you get a call, the call I mentioned earlier, you're thinking of selling your home, we'd like you to talk to us. You say, great, you set an appointment. Then you're going to spend 2 hours minimum preparing that for that appointment. You're going to drive out to the house. You're going to take a tour of the home. Then you're going to sit down in their living room. You're going to take out your presentation and you're going to spend 1 to 2 hours going through your presentation, either formally or informally. After that 2-hour meeting, they're going to say to you, wow, you've given us so much to think about. Let us get back to you. On the way back, you don't know, did I get it? Did I not get it? You're replaying the whole meeting. I should have said this. I should have said that. You're on pins and needles for 24, 48, 72 hours. Then your phone rings. You see it's them. Your heart starts beating. Oh, my goodness. They get you on the phone. They say, Steve, you did a really tremendous job. You gave us so much to think about. However, we're going to go in a different direction. And your heart stops. And you feel defeated. You can barely say thank you and hang up the phone. We could have saved all of that and gotten to that same conclusion in 15 minutes. Or the opposite conclusion. You got the listing. So
I agree with you, but Steve, I'm going to have you put a pin in it really quick because we break this show into segments. We've done 30 minutes. We're going to do 10 bonus minutes. And if you'd like to continue on to the subject, we can definitely do that in the bonus section, assuming that you sign up with us for the extra 10 minutes. Because we're going to post it to our YouTube channel. Yeah, you're good. All right. So, John, but I'm going to ask for a small favor, Steve. You've been going down this path with the response for listing appointments, which I think is great. I think it's a great piece of information. But I would like to give John does all the donkey work for the show. He does a lot of research. He probably watched, a couple hours of your videos. So he's probably got a few things prepared that he may want to ask before the show ends. So if you don't mind, I would just like to give him that opportunity to ask any remaining questions and give you a chance to respond. Is that okay?
You got it.
All right, John.
Yeah, you kind of answered one of the questions, which is finding out if you're the favorite or the fool. What's your opinion of how, all clients are different, but in general, based on your experience, what are one or the key factors that in the client's mind makes the agent the favorite?
Great question. So based on the work that Chris Voss did, we break people down into three types: the assertive, the accommodator, and the analyst. And most real estate agents are accommodators. They're people pleasers. An accommodator is someone who puts relationship first. The assertive is the bottom line guy. And the analyst, it's all about data. And so it's important that you understand who you are and what your style of communication is, because if you really want to be effective with a client, you need to be able to adapt what you're saying to how they hear things. So you can read based on responses. Is someone an accommodator? Are they an analyst? Are they an assertive, and adapt how you communicate to them? Because again, what's important is making them feel understood. And what's going to make them feel more understood is speaking their language. The accommodator speaks the language of hope. The assertive, it's all about respect. And the analyst, it's all about the numbers. So knowing who you're speaking with gives you an idea of how to tailor your communication to that person.
Yeah, I think they're great points, but I might be being a little bit slow here, but are you saying that the agent, they communicate in one of those styles and through their website, through their social media, through all the kind of marketing mediums, when they're meeting people at events, they've got one of those communication styles, and that's what they attract similar possible clients because of their communication style. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is you want to be able to do business with everyone, and you need to understand your personality type, because if we just say there's three basic types, that means two-thirds of the world is not the same type you are. They're gonna hear information in a different way. And the beautiful thing about tactical empathy, it's not a business thing. It's a life thing. It's a way of communicating. Making people feel understood is something you can practice all the time in every conversation with the kids at home, with your spouse, your partner, whomever, work associate, in business. It's a way of communicating that focuses on making it always about the other person, always making it about them. In fact, what you want to do to be the most effective communicator is you want to take yourself out of the equation altogether. It's not about what you want and need. It's always about what they want and need. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to detach your needs, your wants, from any interaction with anyone, that's gonna build that trust that we talked about earlier. And ultimately, that's what's gonna, end up resulting in more business.
All right, over to you, Rob.
So we're going to head towards a windup. And when we do, Steve, we're going to ask you for some contact information. I'm just going to give a very brief synopsis of what I heard you say, but I am going to move it slightly out of the territory that you've been talking about it in. Our show and our focus is oftentimes on discussions surrounding digital. And you are very much a traditionalist, which, so that you know, my personal history is 100% everything that you said. I've knocked on tens of thousands of doors. I did so for ADT among many, many contracts. I've done massive amounts of cold calling. And in the last part of my career here, I've moved into inbound marketing, mostly because I did so much cold calling and so much door knocking. I just got a little bit tired of it. So I moved, I shifted as technology caught up to my philosophy, which is a Ziglar thing. If you help enough people get what they want, you'll always get what you want. I moved that skill set into digital. I moved it into answering really important questions for people. And you've been talking a lot about tone and personality types and things like that. So for those of you listening to the show who are longtime listeners, I'm going to say this. When you decide on a persona online, which I have decided long ago, I'm just going to be myself, Steve. I'm not anybody else. I'm just me. And so I'm a fast talker. I'm much younger than I look. And so I gravitate. The people that call me tend to be younger, tech savvy people. But strangely, my experience is more towards Mike Ferry. Like, I actually am much more inclined to talk to a Mike Ferry guy than I am most other people, because when somebody tells me I'm on the phone 4 hours a day, God, do I ever get that. So for those of you listening, it's decide on a persona and then speak to that persona on your social media. Don't try to be all things in one to everybody is my advice. I say be one thing and make a decision and you'll appeal to that segment of the market for sure. But digital is so vast. Unlike picking up a list and calling, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 names, it's vast. It's 10,000 people, 100,000 people, 1 million people. And so a single video can speak to God knows how many people, but the only people that will call you is the people who automatically gravitate to your particular tone, your particular personality type. That's been my experience, at least. So thank you so much for coming onto the show, Steve. There's been no doubt that we have lacked the voice of experience on the show, especially when it comes to a lot of really great traditional sales wisdom. There's nothing that will ever stop a determined salesperson from making money. All you got to do is, you know, Tom Ferry or Tom Hopkins used to call it get belly to belly. You're calling it something different. Everybody had some way that they said it. But basically, if you have the drive to get in front of people, you can sell it. Full stop. Like, if you want to knock on doors, it'll work today just like it did 20 years ago. It just might, the numbers might be slightly higher because of the way that people answer doors and ring and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter. If you're determined to go out and knock on some doors, you're going to make some money. How would you like people?
The thing I would use, sorry to butt in a little bit. You can take everything I say and adapt it to digital, meaning not making it about you, making it about them, seeing the world through their eyes, inviting them to get to know you, to make space in whatever you do for them to want to know more about you, know who you are. The great thing about digital, it can amp, you know, it's a huge amplifier for this foundation of building relationships. You know, it gives you, you know, it just gives you the ability every day when you set the foundation with the personal contact, now you can amplify that foundation in an unlimited way, unlimited way.
I love that. All right. Well, we're at the end of our time today. Again, I want to give you a very personal thank you, Steve. I haven't directly heard your name, but your work history suggests that you are literally a legend in the industry. I'm so thrilled that we got you on the show. Thank you, John, for having arranged that. I really appreciate it. Steve, if you wanted people to research you, reach out to you, talk to you, whatever it is going to be, how would you like them to do that?
You can go to the website, www.performancecoaching.com. If you want to ask a question, email support@performancecoaching.com. And we got books on Amazon, The Full Fee Agent, Real Estate is Not Rocket Science, and The Real Estate Team Playbook. So go on Amazon. We've got three books for you.
Beautiful. And John, if you wanted people to do the same with you, how do you have people reach out to you and get in touch with you or research you or whatever, you know, however you think they should do it?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Rob. Just go either to the mail-write.com website, have a look, and you can book a free chat with me, or go to the Mail Write YouTube channel, and we've got a load of videos and we cover a ton of all the concepts that we discuss in the podcast. Back over to you, Rob.
Beautiful. And for those of you who may have liked my way of podcast sherping you through this episode, you can always do more research about me at inboundrm.com. I walk my talk. Every lesson that I've learned, everything you need to know about SEO, it's all there for you to read, engage with for free. And if you should want to talk to me directly, you can email me at robert@inboundrm.com. All right, guys, it's been a great show. Appreciate it. John's going to take us offline and we're going to spend 20 seconds talking to you, Steve, about some wrap-up stuff after the show.